KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers. Experience the new 2024 Tacoma at your local dealer and learn about the new lineup, including turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Friday, March 15th. State Farm is raising its rates for home insurance by 20%. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. A San Diego federal judge approved a settlement yesterday to address prolonged delays in immigration court cases. This comes after a 2017 lawsuit argued immigration detainees often spend weeks or months in custody before their first appearance in court. The settlement now requires a series of protocols for detainees. These include the opportunity to appear before a judge within 11 days of entering ICE custody. And the settlement requires the Border Patrol to process detainees who reside in the U.S. within 3 days. Plaintiff Jose Cancino Castellar spent over a month at the ICE Detention Center in Otay Mesa while awaiting his court appearance, despite being allowed to live in the U.S. because of DACA. The MTS Board of Directors yesterday approved a $243 million capital improvement budget. It's the largest in the agency's history. The biggest chunk of the budget will go towards maintaining MTS's bus and rail system. It will also fund 64 projects, including rail infrastructure improvements, buying new electric and natural gas-powered buses, and installing charging infrastructure for buses. Ben Evans is the county's new spelling bee champ. He's an eighth grader at Twin Peaks Middle School in Poway. Evans was one of the more than 80 students who competed in the 2024 San Diego County Scripps Regional Spelling Bee yesterday. He'll represent the county at the National Scripps Spelling Bee in Washington, D.C. in late May. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
California's largest insurance carrier is raising homeowner insurance rates. Reporter John Carroll has more on that and the efforts underway to stabilize the insurance market in the state.
State Farm has the green light to raise rates it charges California homeowners by 20%. That's only possible because the hike was approved by California's insurance commissioner. Jill Epstein is the CEO of the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of California. She says she understands the position State Farm and other insurers here are in.
We have a regulatory environment that has not modernized with time. It's going to take some time to undo the situation we're in right now.
Michael Soller with the California Department of Insurance says they're working on the problem, introducing a new regulation designed to make sure insurance companies continue to do business in the state. Several have left or are no longer writing new policies.
to restore options for people, to improve availability of insurance. And that's really going to help to drive down the cost of insurance. Because right now we have areas where people cannot even get an insurance company to call them back.
But updating the state's antiquated regulatory system will take time. In the meantime, homeowners here and across the state need to buckle up for more expensive rates to come if they can get a policy at all. John Carroll, KPBS News.
The CDC estimates that about 7% of American adults have long COVID, which can afflict people for years. This week, Scripps Research Institute announced they were kicking off a study aimed at helping them. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us more.
The Long COVID Wearable Study will ultimately include 500 participants who have long COVID. Julia Moore-Vogel, the director of programs at Scripps Research, says each of them will monitor their health every day with a special wristband,
which takes into account your sleep, your heart rate, your heart rate variability, and your step count.
The goal of the study is to find out if that monitoring can help people with long COVID to pace themselves. There is currently no medical treatment for long COVID, but Moore-Vogel says people can better understand how much stress they're putting on their system. She says people with long COVID have what she calls an energy bubble.
The idea is, can we use this guidance to help people stay within their energy bubble and therefore decrease the severity of their symptoms because they're not going off that cliff and making things much worse?
She hopes the study shows that proper pacing will allow people to expand that energy bubble and live a better life. Moore-Vogel has long COVID herself, and she suffered fatigue and frequent headaches for 3.5 years. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
A property in Del Mar owned by the city of San Diego is caught up in controversy and a lawsuit for events happening on its fields. Reporter Jacob Ayers says some local residents and organizations say Surf Sports Park is being misused and the issue may end up being settled in court.
The well-manicured soccer pitches and facilities of Surf Sports Park are surrounded by nature preserves and high-end homes. But there's trouble in paradise.
Over the course of a year, we'll have 400,000 or 500,000 people coming to this place with traffic congestion, noise problems, pollution.
Larry Pollack lives near the park. He says the fields don't feel like an open public space anymore, especially since 2016, when Surf Sports took over the site from the San Diego Polo Club.
What they've done here is they've decided to make this almost like a West Coast headquarters.
And we've put about $5 million into the property to transition it from being a horse property into the premier youth sports facility in the country.
Brian Enge is COO of Surf Sports, which currently operates the site under a 28-year lease with the city of San Diego. The Surf Sports website says they host 35 events in San Diego each year, hosting people from all over the country. It's the number of events that's upset its neighbors. And the Fairbanks Polo Club Homeowners Association is suing the city of San Diego because of it. Pollack isn't a part of that lawsuit, but agrees with what it stands for.
I think the city of San Diego is as accountable, maybe even more, because they understand and have acknowledged what's in the lease. And they are allowing Surf Cup to violate that lease.
The suit says the violation is in hosting events too often, up to 200 days a year. It says the lease only allows 25 days of events per year. Enge couldn't provide exact numbers of days of events per year, but said they let other groups use the park too, and talked about the overall impact.
We create hotel rooms, jobs, economic impact by bringing people into the city here. And we help kids chase their dreams. I have a hard time figuring out what's wrong with that.
Pollack is concerned the park has turned into a major event complex, which falls outside of what the grant deed allows. Non-commercial recreational uses that don't involve large gatherings of people or cars.
It should be essentially used as a park.
Maggie Brown is president of the Friends of the San Diego River Valley, which unsuccessfully sued the city in 2016 over use of the fields. Brown says there's sensitive wetland habitat all around the area.
The wildlife corridors have all been cut off by the fencing that's there. The birds stay away from it. It really is very damaging to the environment.
She's concerned about the current and future use of the site.
The things that they have done there represent intensified commercial use, which is specifically not allowed by the grant deed on the land that they're on.
Engie says the size and intensity of the events have not increased over time, and that they strive to comply with all aspects of their lease.
We've had the same number of fields for many, many years. It's the same size of property. You can't fit more teams onto an event in the same time of daylight in the same type of fields.
Since 2022, some of those fields are also being used by the San Diego Wave FC, and the lawsuit says that's added to the problems on site. Engie says the concerns are coming from a small but vocal minority who want peace and quiet in their neighborhood.
We don't start our events too early. We don't make them too late. We let them know when they're having events. We want to be respectful, good neighbors.
The park is in Joe Lacava's city council district. We reached out to him, the mayor's office, and the city attorney's office, but they all said they could not comment on pending litigation. The city attorney's office said a trial date has been scheduled for March 14th, 2025. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Researchers from SDSU and the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance are using new technology to study snakes. Here's North County reporter Alexander Nguyen.
On this bright, sunny day, San Diego State researcher Emma McAndrews, with a snake grabber in hand, is on a mission.
We're going after to locate one of our snakes.
She's looking for M43.
We've been monitoring this male number 43 for almost a year now.
The red diamondback rattlesnakes that McAndrews is studying like to hide in rocks and tall, grassy areas. And that makes them hard to observe and study in the field. The red diamondback rattlesnakes are listed as near threatened.
Yep, sounds good. So she has a male we marked last week, but we didn't have an accelerometer with us, so we're going to catch him up, hopefully.
Jeff Lem is a conservation program specialist at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance.
They're very important in the food web in general, so they eat a lot of the smaller animals. And a lot of larger animals, such as bobcats, coyotes, hawks, birds of prey, eat them.
Accelerometers have been used to track animals in the wild before, but they tend to be bigger and bulkier, not ideal for snakes. But the improved technology used by the San Diego researchers is smaller and easier to attach to snakes. That makes it easier for researchers to know what the snakes are doing, even if they're hiding in the grass. Alexander Nguyen, KPBS News.
Last night, the 31st annual San Diego Latino Film Festival kicked off its 10-day celebration of Latino cinema, arts, and culture. Maria Paula Lorgia is the festival's new artistic director. She says it's exciting, a program for a festival that is on the border.
You can walk and in 20 minutes you're in Latin America, and then you walk and in 20 minutes you're in the United States. And I think it creates a lot of dialogues. There are crews of films that have citizens in both countries. This makes you reflect a lot on how borders have no sense and how we are all humans, and we have to, as programmers or creators or directors too, question all of that political frontiers.
More than 100 shorts and features will be screened as the San Diego Latino Film Festival continues through March 24th at AMC Mission Valley and Digital Gym Cinema. That's it for the podcast today. This podcast is produced by Emmalyn Mohebi and edited by Brooke Ruth. Thank you to Eric Anderson, John Carroll, and Nick McVicker for helping the podcast team this week. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Topics like political polarization and hybrid work policies can create workplace conflict. NCRC can help workplace leaders navigate divisive issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.